It's in your house. We all know. You know, you're just staying at home because you're lazy. Straight away, at long, let's dive into the word tonight. And I told you I'm going to be talking about relationship. And that's what I'm going to do. But before I do that, I want to just continue from where I stopped on Friday. On Friday evening, the first test that we did was I asked everybody that was present to write about three things or more or less or so, three things that they know is negative about themselves, the negative part of you. Again, the reason why I asked for that is that it is not so much of the positive side of you that you need, it's the negative side you need. Again, I'll repeat that because that is going to be very strange to many people. Many people were taught, okay, what is your positive side? And when you realize your positive side or negative side, then the pastor is going to do a preaching from now till eternity about how you should change. About how change, stop doing this, change. Now, I've discovered, and one of the things that we discussed on Friday is that people really don't change. What happens to us is that there are things in our lives that take on another shape. But if you notice some negative things in you, you will realize that they've always been there. They can take different shape. You can become a better liar. You can become a better thief or something like that. Now, because now we're talking about negative side. So we begin to see that in reality, am I supposed to change my negative side, or is it possible to rechannel my negative side? Then we started with an example of a man called Adolf Hitler. We realized that he had a part. For every negative person, there is always a positive part about them. Now, this guy believed something and he pursued what he believed with his whole heart. Could it be possible that if he's used what he believed in and rechanneled it towards the positive, he would have been an extraordinary man in his generation? So we discovered also that our positive parts only make us, all that it makes us is average people. When you focus just on your positive, well, I'm good at this, well, I'm good at that, I'm a good person. No, there is a destructive part that if properly rechanneled can make you what God wants you to be. And so that's why on Friday, I asked those of us who were here to write our negative part. And you will discover that the things that we therefore found out were very interesting. For example, I saw young people tell me, most of you, because I've gone through these things now, most of them told me about, almost everybody has stubbornness in their list. They said, I'm stubborn. Some even use the word hard-headed. Now, meaning that stubbornness, hard-headedness, and all those things. Could there be anything positive about stubbornness? Of course, you know there is. You can use stubbornness in the wrong things. But then you can take that same stubbornness, and that is what we should teach our children, really. It's about rechanneling, not change, really. It's about refocusing that same energy, that same force, that same ability to be stubborn in useless things and taking it to be stubborn in getting prosperous. Using it to be stubborn in being the best at what you do. Using it to be stubborn in prayer. Using it to be stubborn in some things, whatever it is. So to every negative, and then we saw, I gave also an example the other day, on Friday as well. I gave the example, of course, about fire and water. How many of you know that water can destroy completely, can't it? It can destroy everything. But then again, what about water? You need it. Some of you have drank at least 2 kegs today and all those things because water is needed. You need it to cook, you need it to drink, you need it to wash, you need it to do many things. But guess what? Just some few months ago, that same water, or some few years ago, that same water destroyed the life and livelihood of many in many nations, including New York. Can you imagine that? And so the same water that has the ability to do what is right, when it is coming with force, has the ability to do what is wrong. But I want to show you another interesting part of water that to generate electricity, therefore, what they do many times is to create the force of water in order to create electricity, meaning that they control the force and keep it within a certain radius. And so electricity is produced. The same thing with everything that is negative about me. Now, I also mentioned that many times people don't even know their negative part. Many times what people know is their positive part. They are very conversant with their positive part. They know the good things about them. They even talk about the good things about them to themselves and to the mirror. But you see, that negative part is more important than the positive. Now, because once you know a negative part of you, you have the power over it. You have the ability to harness it and channel it towards what is positive. So I saw hard-headedness. I saw things like, now I'm reading new list. Now, this person says slow to react to pressure, meaning that he or she does not react to pressure quickly. Now, I don't just want to teach this tonight, so I'm just going to rush through it. Then another person said love to sleep. That's their own negative part. Another person said time management and time keeping is my negative part. Multitasking skills, I don't have it. He said that's my negative part. Now, as I'm reading these things, I want you to begin to see, as you're looking at those positive parts, begin to think about what is positive about it. Because there is no absolute negative. There is nothing like it is just so negative that there is nothing that is good that can come out of it. If you've noticed something about God, what he does many times is that it takes positive out of negative. Have you ever noticed that? This person said, not confident in my talent. This person put very, very, very stubborn. He or she put it 3 times. Very, very, very stubborn. Always late. She said, she said, that's a negative part or his negative part. Another person said, excessive talking, deception. I love the honesty by which these guys approach it, because again, what happens to those of us who are adults is that we don't meet our other part until we are older. Because it takes an older you to begin to think that could there be that there is something negative in me? And even if you, God help you, you go to a place where they are always praising you, then you'll never know. So I love this honesty, really. Deception. It said 8 commitment. It said 2 dependent. 8 to ask for help. Okay. Another person says, let me just glance through this. And then what I was doing actually on Friday was taking all this negative part and showing what is positive about it, and how you can take it, how we can take it and turn it to positive, how we can take it and just harness the same energy to get a positive result. But I won't do that tonight because of time. This person said fast to talk, slow at listening. And he or she said she or he is gullible. I love that. Very brilliant. Okay, then another person talks about their negative part, 3 things here: procrastination, limited mindset, I don't care attitude. Okay, in other words, some form of recklessness. Another person said, impatient, I'm very impatient. She or he said, we made sure that there is no name on it, so you won't think pastor is speaking on you at some point. The person said, I get easily angered. I don't think a lot, meaning I'm impulsive. That's the negative part of that person. I hope you have a list where you list your own negative parts as well. You should look at it every morning. Like I said, your positive is already positive. There is nothing about your positive. Your positive is the great part of you that is great, lovely, wonderful. But the one that has the ability to make you an extraordinary person, or the one that has the ability to make you, to destroy you, is the negative. So that's the one we want to know. Pride, because it has to do with relationship too. When we start talking about relationship in a minute, don't mind I'm talking fast. We have a lot of ground to cover and I want to keep within time. This person said pride and laziness. Now, you know, one of the most powerful negative parts is pride. You see that all the time, and it doesn't matter if a person is poor or rich, pride is always there, because pride has this thing about, it's very subtle, very destructive. It is there, it is quiet, you never know it is there, pride. But could there be anything positive about pride? We're going to see that in a minute. And of course, we are not saying that these things in themselves are good. We are just saying that it is possible for us to rechannel the energy of these things and produce the positive out of the negative. So if you would please hold that thought about pride, because I've always realized that the proud people are the ones that think they are not proud. Really, they think, I think I've overcome pride. Then you know they are proud. Okay, so we need to see the symptoms of pride. Okay, then another person says, lazy, lie, pride. That's another one. Again, I say to you, one of the things I discovered with this thing is that our negative part is almost all the same. It rolls within the same cycle all the time. Listen to this one. They say, fiercely, don't know if that is a good or bad thing. Another person said, I think stubbornness is one of the most negative things I've read in these things. Overly stubborn, impulsive, and lazy. Of course, if you can tell yourself that, look, Toby, I'm lazy, then you've overcome laziness, haven't you? The problem is, if laziness is there and you don't know it is there, and you call it another name, you call laziness names like procrastination. You call laziness names, whatever other name, apart from lazy, then it keeps the thing there. Overly stubborn, impulsive, lazy. Then the last one, I believe, says procrastination, overexcited. That's an interesting negative part. Overexcited, and then he or she puts equals to restlessness. And then the last one says very defensive, which most proud people are, by the way. Very defensive. Everybody is their enemy. Everybody wants to attack them. Every word that they hear, they go back home and take it to the laboratory and process the word. Why did he look at me like that? Why did he say that? That must mean this. That must mean that. Could it be he was thinking this? Could it be he knows what I don't know? And all kind of things. And from every word, they get something that attacks them. It must be that she's talking about me. It must be that pastor is talking about me. You know that happens a lot in spiritual churches, where the pastor is in the spirit and is just speaking the mind of God, and the person it touches goes back home and says, someone must have told someone something. Now, when that happens to you, just go to God and pray. Because someone might not have told anybody anything. It could just be that God wants to reach out to you. But let's look at the positive side of these things. And how does this affect our relationship with one another? And or how does this impact, either positively or negatively, with our relationship with one another? Now, we want to join two things together tonight. We want to talk about how important relationship is when we talk about prosperity. And if anything that I will ask you to do, first of all, is as a child, a teenager, or an adult, check the list of the people on your phone and then add their assets together. You'll never have more than all of them. Now, I'm teaching practical. You may never have heard that before. You're not going to prosper more than the list of everybody. I mean, when you get back home tonight, do what Forbes list does. Calculate roughly the assets of Mrs. B, Mrs. C, Mrs. A, Mrs. This, Mrs. That, and sum it all up, including their mortgage. Now, when you sum it all up, then look at yourself and know for sure, because everything that a person gets, and I want you to listen to this, we're talking about relationship. Everything that a person gets, either buy, borrows, lease, rent, whatever it is, everything that a person gets is based on their knowledge at a certain time. So you have a knowledge about something, and because you have the knowledge about it, you go do a job, and the job pays you according to what they think you know. And someone said, my job can never pay me for my effort. Have you noticed that the more you put into a job, physical effort you put into a job, the less you earn. The lesser your physical effort is involved, the higher your pay. You're looking at me as if I'm talking Greek tonight. So whatever effort, if you calculate how much effort you put into something, the less your pay is. No doubt about that. You spend 12 hours a day, 15 hours a day, 10 hours a day in a certain job. What happens is that I can bet it with you what your salary is. Now, the more your value increases, therefore, the more things change, and the less you have to work, the more you earn. I thought it was the opposite. In fact, many of us still think it's the opposite. Meaning, if I can put more energy, I can do more work, and I can do more and do more. I was just telling someone today, you know, a businessman is taxed on profit. A worker is taxed on anything you earn that month. So, in other words, you are taxed based on how much effort you put into work. The more effort you put into it, the higher your tax goes. Now, a person who owns their own business is not taxed that way. You can't be taxed that way. Now, remember, this is a person that doesn't wake up at 9 a.m. and return home at 10 p.m. It's not putting as much time as you are. Why? Because it is not the strength of your earn, it is the ability and the strength of your mind. Now, how does this translate into relationship? Let's go back into what we've said. A person's worth is calculated by what he gives out. And that is never going to change until you have a stream of knowledge in your life. It's either you have a stream of knowledge or you have a stream of the knowledgeables. You have people in your life, and how do you, and the Bible says that by wisdom a house is built, by understanding all the rooms are filled with precious things. How do you fill the rooms with precious things? By understanding. So if the rooms are empty, that means therefore that there is no understanding. And you remember we've read the scripture before. That says that the ways of a fool wearies him, for he does not know how to go to the city. So there is no understanding. He stays at a job for 30, 40 years. He doesn't like doing it, but he thinks, he's convinced that if he doesn't do it, he's not going to survive. By wisdom a house is built, by understanding. So how do I increase my understanding? Therefore, the way to increase my understanding is to change the relationships in my life. Is to open up myself to practical relationship. I am concerning where I want to go at this period in my life. The friend of a chicken, even though the friend of a chicken is an eagle, it will not know that it can fly because it keeps walking with the chickens. Every time it walks with a chicken, a lion can walk in the company of goats and end up to be goats. Lions roar. And then all of a sudden, this lion, because from childhood, from being a cub, all that it does is simple. It just follows the goat. Now, we've only heard that in the teaching of good manners corrupt good, whatever that is. We teach our children not to walk with bad friends, but we don't teach them how to walk with the good ones. We teach them how to not walk with bad people. Don't keep evil. I've told you this before. My dad would tell me when we were younger, remember the child of who you are. As you're going, remember the child of who you are. The problem is, I don't know you. I know you as my dad. I see you, but I don't know who you are. So how can I remember you? Because I don't know you. We've never spoken for 10 minutes before. And you're telling me on my way to school, remember the child of who you are. I don't know you, sir. Introduce yourself. Kind of thing. The streams of people in your life, the relationships in your life, because the way they think, either you want to agree or not, the way they think is constantly shaping your mindset, constantly shaping the way you think as well. So, and Jesus gave enough scriptures about that. He talked about our mind, and he also told us, he said, guide your heart. I mean, the scriptures rather also told us, he said, guide your heart with all diligence. He said, for out of it are the issues of life. What are the things that come into my heart? The things that come into my heart are allowed by the people that come into my life. Because these people come with ideas. They come with knowledge or foolishness or wisdom or stupidity. It's either of those things. And how do I know if they come with wisdom and knowledge? I want to see what you've done with your life. And if I don't see what you've done with your life and you're telling me that, don't worry, God is still going to bless me. Yes, I believe that, but that must flow on one thing. Give me your plans. And so I find it interesting that it is very easy for people to have 20, 30 friends. None of these friends come to church with you, but they are your friends. Well, I tell you what, I don't have no friend. No, I have no permanent friend or permanent enemy. You understand those kind of people. You can play today and tomorrow they have turned to something else. That's me. Now, because whatever I allow in my relationships, the people that I open my life to, have you seen a man in the scripture? His name was Jonathan. And Jonathan had relationship with the chosen one of God and the rejected one of God. He had relationship with both. He had relationship with his father because Saul was his father. They were in covenant relationship because this was the one who bore him. But he forgot to have a permanent relationship with the one who God has chosen, and that costed him his life. Well, it's my dad. Well, you can be my dad all you like. You can be my dad all you like. What is happening now is that I must look into the prophetic and see what God is saying and just follow God wholeheartedly. And that's what Jonathan failed to do. So Jonathan will run from David and go check with Saul and run back to David and run back to Saul. And the Bible says that there was a bond, there was a love between Jonathan and David. That means that you can love the message you're hearing. You can love God. You can love the things of God. You can love to walk with God, but you still love the world as well. And you have relationship with both. And what usually happens is that whatever is called the negative always takes over. Always the ultimate price, which is death. And death here does not just mean the cessation of life. It could mean just living below the standard like many of us are. We are completely below the standard of what we have in our mind. Why? Because the people that you've opened up your life to have set a barrier in your mind. And that is what the Bible says, that to the pulling down of stronghold. And what I want to attempt to do in the month of July is to pull down strongholds that are in the mind. I see people tell me about prosperity. I want to prosper. But I can see deeper than they can see. And I know that the stronghold is not broken. It's not broken yet. The day the stronghold of a man breaks, you will know. They will be able to leave the relationship with poverty into prosperity without being afraid of how to survive next month. That stronghold is down. They have this kind of faith that is just unrepentant. They just believe. They are not shaky. They are not on the line. They are able to say to their workplace, you can spend the pension. It's going to be because if they look at Ruth and Naomi and her mother-in-law, what happened was that she formed a relationship that was going to take her to the next level of her life. And the other woman, the other girl, the other lady returned home. She returned to her familiar ground. Are you in relationship with people who actually just blow your mind and push you into the deep? Are you in relationship with people that stir up your faith so much that when you get home, I don't know how some people sleep 6 hours through the night. Because what I think is that when most times, of course, not because of work or labor, most times when we've worked, I mean, and by this one, I mean work that you love to do. And we sleep off either reading the Bible or on the computer. The first thing that wakes you up in the morning is an idea, a scripture, something that you're going to do, how you're going to. Do you know that you will be rich if in your life, this month, this coming month, you are able to solve 5 problems? Let's just say you are able to solve just 5 problems. People are not problem solver. They want God to solve all the problems. They want time to solve all the problems. And God calls you a problem solver. If you've been praying about something and the problem is not being solved, could it be that God is saying, use your mind? But you can't do that if you don't have the right relationship. One of you was sharing with me yesterday how he was paying and is still paying someone £75 per hour just to receive advice from his credit card. To receive advice, you know, about his business. This is what to do. This is what to do. He said at the end of this stuff, the guy, the 27-year-old, looked at him and said, look, I can't mentor you. Your mindset is too small. You are like an ant. So, hey, pastor says that in church committee will come. And I'm not taking £75 per hour. He said it's just too small. Because he said, he asked me, what is your expected turnover in the next 6 months? He said, well, about 50,000 to... He said, even the 50, his mouth was shaking. Oh, the man said, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Just buy me tea, I need to go. Well, but pay for your 3 hours, that's fine. What am I saying this for? That kind of relationship, it has no other destiny but to lead you into prosperity. And anyone that is going to take you to where God wants you to take you to is going to have to break some demons that the church has imparted into you when people were laying foolish hands on us. They are called the demons of mediocrity. And the whole idea of God is coming to do what? To give me money. Your mind, the power of your mind, the relationships you keep, where your allegiance is, who you listen to, people who you seek to have audience with. You just seek to be with them, to talk to them, and it doesn't matter. I was telling some people yesterday, I have mentors. Sometimes I've called them for 3-4 months and I'm not getting any reply. I said, one of them, I've sent Father's Day's message to him since Father's Day, not a single reply of hello. But I know he respects me. But then I would then see him and say, hey, you know, by the way, I've been calling you. You are not picking my call. That would be a joke. That would be a big joke. Why? Because the value you place on relationship is what the relationship gives back to you in idea and words. And this is the core of relationship. Either we start with relationship with God. Because what some of us should actually do, Pastor Dipo, is for some of us to call them at work and say, look, for the next 7 days, I will be sick. Well, are you sick now? No. I'm not sick now, but I can guarantee you, from the time I drop the phone, I'm sick. And then you're locking up yourself with the Lord, and you're telling him to show you the roadmap to prosperity with your book and your Bible, and you're saying, God, I'm not leaving this place poor. I'm not. Kill me or I prosper, one of the two. Or show me that you are a liar. If the mindset has not broken to that stage, why? Because we sit down in the church and the church makes us believe as well that, you know, especially if you come to this kind of a church, it's okay if you don't have anything to give, God will give to you. It is not okay. It is not because of the church. It is because whatever, as much as you love God, whatever happened to you that you don't have something to give, that thing is really affecting you. And it's not just affecting you in the area of you giving in church alone. It's affecting many other areas. And you must lock up yourself with all this knowledge and say, Lord, I have to prosper. What about circumstances? You are 56 years old or 54 or 50, and everybody you know in your age group, none of them is a millionaire. And so those relationships will tell you it doesn't work that way. You know, we are all struggling. Your mindset, because of the people in your life, your mindset automatically programs itself because of the people in your life. Do you know it's the same way for those who are 56 and they are millionaires or multi-millionaires? Their mindset just programs that that's the normal way to live. They don't even know that it could be possible that a person can eat what they want to eat. You have to lecture them that these things happen in this world. The mindset and our landings. What some people will call to me, well, I don't like material things. I just like serving God and going to heaven when Jesus comes. Now, it depends on your landing. Well, a person says, I've seen someone say, I don't like material things, da 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 da, but he's got one Rolls Royce and one, I can't remember the other one. Why? It doesn't say, he said, well, because you see, all those people who buy private jets and all that, I'm thinking, okay. Landing. It doesn't see what he has as a Rolls Royce Phantom. It doesn't see it as big material thing. It's called where you land in life. Landing. Now, what God then does for us, ladies and gentlemen, is to change our landing. And how does he do that? He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You begin to think the way your father thinks. You begin to talk the way God talks. You begin to see yourself the way God sees you. You never see yourself as the economy calls you or the political landscape calls you. You see yourself as God calls you. And because of that, you are cautious of the people that you talk to. You can be in front of people, you are talking to them, they are talking. And for me, what I do is once they start to talk negative, I start singing in my heart. Because Paul advised us singing in our heart. Because now the man is afraid, the woman is afraid. I just start singing, I'm not hearing them anymore. I've switched off. Now, if they ever mention a word of faith, then I come back. Why? Because my mind is so powerful, and that's why every relationship in my life must be filtered, because two people cannot work together except they agree. Do we agree about where we're going? Do we agree about, and that is where marriage should start from. Marriage should start from the standpoint of agreement, not physical appearance, not material wealth. It should start from the, what do you believe? Sit down, let's talk. What do you believe about church? What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about money? What do you believe about health? What do you believe about this? Let's know what we believe. And then we'll find some people. And that's what church should be as well. When a person, a newcomer, walks into a church, he should be able to talk to the pastor or any of the pastors. What do you guys believe about this? What do you guys believe about this? Not writing observation, useless letter when you don't know things. So what we believe will guide our relationship. And then if you don't believe in the God of prosperity, we can't be in relationship. I'm sorry, because what Jesus did on the cross is complete. It is holistic. There is nothing missing. There is nothing broken. And I believe also that if a person is in my life and you're in my life for 5 years, if you don't prosper, I won't pick your call anymore. I'm sorry. Because you can't prosper. Pride? Well, maybe. Because I believe that iron sharpens iron. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Iron sharpens iron. He said, so shall a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. So relationship, therefore, must be a belief system that is said, we can complement each other in many things. Meaning that there might be things that I know how to do and you don't know how to do. There might be things you know how to do and I don't know how to do. We complement ourselves. I see the prayer potential in your life and I need to fire up my prayer life. I get into relationship with you. My prayer life must move to the next level. So we are complementing each other, but our belief must be the same. To an extent. We must believe in prosperity together. So that when I say, okay, I want you to push me into the place of prayer right now, and we are praying together, and I begin to say, okay, let's pray about the wealth, the hidden riches in dark places. You say, no, let's pray about heaven. As much as there is nothing wrong with praying about heaven, preparing for the second coming of Jesus, and all those beautiful things, important things, fundamental things about our belief, fundamental things about our faith, as much as all those things have to be emphasized, Jesus said, occupy till I come. I want you to prosper. I want you to take the nation. The Bible says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations as a witness, said, and then the end will come. To preach this gospel of the kingdom, I must get into relationship. Check the belief system of the people you are entering into relationship with. You will be surprised that this will help you beyond a capital in your hand. When I want to start business, I need a capital. That's where people get everything twisted. You don't start business with a capital. You start business with a mindset. You start business with a clear-cut vision. This is where I'm going. And a clear-cut vision has to have time to it. Has to have the ridiculous parts to it, but has to have the workable parts to it. Can I hear an amen tonight? Why are relationships important? And I want you to begin to think about the people that are in your life. I don't need a friend for anything. What for? To just find somebody to talk to? I'll talk to myself. I'll talk to myself about the reality of life. I'll talk to myself about the good things of life. I'll talk to myself about the hidden part of me that everybody else don't know. I don't need a friend to talk that to. Well, you might need a friend so that when you are having a wedding or ceremony, they should attend. No, they should not attend. Because I don't even want to have the ceremony in the first place. Have you noticed that when wealthy people have ceremony, people show up? Well, I don't need friends that will drag me down before I get there. If I ever have a friend, or when I ever have a friend, it is because we have a destination. And we have a place that we're going to. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Relationship. How then does our negative part affect relationship? Now, because we've checked some things about negative part and all those things, how does this either impact, affect, destroy, or build the relationship? Again, take stubbornness for an example. And we've said that stubbornness is not completely wrong. It is just how you use it. You can use your stubbornness to be to make sure you go to school and you are stubborn at finishing. When everything, all odds are against you, you are stubborn at it until you achieve it. Now, that is a different stubbornness from the stubbornness of, I don't say sorry. I said this on Friday. You know, there are some people that never say sorry. They are just stubborn. I will not say sorry. I didn't do anything wrong. And the problem with negative stubbornness is that it is usually for nothing. And I've told people, I can say sorry 10 times before you blink if I have to. So I don't have anything in me like, no, it's my principle. I don't say sorry. You know, I have people like that, even local, even around us, very stubborn, hard-headed. I'm very poor. Nothing achieved. But there is complete stubbornness. Your only asset or mortgage they have is stubbornness. That's the only thing. That's all. Now, I don't mind that stubbornness. I'm just saying that take that same stubbornness and rechannel it to something. Take that same stubbornness and channel the stubbornness into making sure that you are not stubborn. Why? Because every negative thing has a positive part. You can use your negative part to create a positive all the time. All the time. Someone said, well, Pastor, my own problem is that I don't think before I do things. Said, as negative as that may sound, if you channel it right, you will be a great risk taker and you're going to break through. You're going to break through. Because when others are still busy thinking, you've taken about 5 risks. Trust me, one of it will come true. There are people that will process things, and that's not wrong as well. But you must have a balance of both. But if you see yourself that you act just like that, act, and damn the consequence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, are you hearing what I'm saying? Another thing that will give you is that as you continue to grow, boldness will start growing in you. You've done things and you damn the consequence. Now, and I said this on Friday, when people say, well, I don't think before I do things, I said, it's not completely right. I think we all think before we do everything. It's just that in law, there is negligence and there is recklessness. You can know that these things, the outcome of it might not be too pleasant, and you still want to do it. How many of us have done things that we know the outcome is not going to be pleasant, but we still did it? We do that all the time. Take that thing and channel it to the positive. Like Richard Branson, if I may use that name, you've just make some decisions before. I'm telling you that if you get the tapes or you're recording all these things and you put it together, it is not some big money that will prosper you, it's some big mindset. You know things that others don't know. People have gone to church today. They've heard about the scripture, Genesis chapter 1, verse 10. I've thought about Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, Zechariah chapter 4, Zerubbabel chapter 2, John chapter 4, and you've had everything. The only problem is I don't know if these things are true or false anymore. I'm so confused about it, because the more you're doing it, the poorer the people are getting. So I realized they've heard it all. Well, and they've consoled themselves that, well, even if it is not here on earth, it's in heaven. If God wants me to be poor here on earth, to take me to heaven, why leave me here? I can't even win souls. I can't even do the work of a missionary. But yes, you say, not earth, heaven. For what? I don't think God is like that. I think God is clear-cut. He says when he is able to do, I said this morning, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you may think. If your prayer life is stronger than your thinking life, you are just joking. I was taught about prayer life. 2 hours prayer, 0 minute thinking. Yet the Bible says that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you may think or ask. Asking is prayer, isn't it? But he put thinking before asking. That if your mind can think and receive it, put all these things together, bring the right people into your life, shut out the poor people. But you know, be careful of poor people. They are very dangerous. Very, very dangerous set of people. They will harm you. They will hurt you badly. You will not believe it. Be careful of poor people. They are dangerous. Because whatever, and look, we're talking about poor and riches. You're saying, well, am I not a poor? I don't have this. No, it is how your mind is working that makes us know if you are poor. Yeah, I see you nodding your head, but let me explain what that means, Minister P. Yes. Really, I'm not just because people walk up to me and say, well, Pastor, man, poverty is mindset, isn't it? Yeah. But what is your mindset? I really need to know your mindset. How? Because if your mindset is not saying, Pastor, by this time next year, this is what I will have, and this is my plan of getting it, you are poor. No idea is poverty. And I say, well, I always think rich and think big and those and that and that. And all the books, people read all the books all the time. Have you read Rich Dad Poor Dad? They say yes. Ask one question they don't know. You can, if you like Rich Dad Poor Dad, that poor man, poor anything, it doesn't make anything change. Prosperity is the number of ideas. Do you also know that prosperity is also the number of mistakes you've made? It's part of your wealth. But there are mistakes you make when trying. So when I meet a person, I want to see how many mistakes have you made trying to be prosperous. And then you will see a person say, I've tried this business, I've tried this marketing, I've tried that. Then you see, but if they then end, I've tried this and tried that with, so I gave up and I'm now working. Then what happened was that they set out with a mindset of prosperity, but life caught up with them and dragged them to the pit. But you see someone that say, I've tried this before. I've tried that I lost 10 grand. I've tried that I lost my house to it. I've tried that, but now I'm trying this. They will prosper, you know. One day, they will break through. They will. They will. You can sit down and laugh at them and advise them to go get a job and be laughing and say, but, you know, later they will be laughing at you. Later they will be the one laughing down on you. And it's good, look, your friends that advise you negative when you're struggling and try to stop you when you break through, please make sure you go laugh at them. Go, just go knock their house door and say, I just came to laugh at your poverty. I'm sure you haven't sent your children to good school. They say, we are struggling. Just I told you so. Why would you do that? That's so mean, you will say. No, it's not mean. You are trying to help them to get out of their mindset. Listen to me. The relationships. The chairman told me yesterday, he said, he has a friend who has his master's degree from a certain university, and he studied forensic stuff, forensic whatever they call it. And I was saying, do you know how much that is paid for? Do you know that in developing nations, every 4 years, at least they pay $1 billion for forensic expert for election malpractices? He said, yeah, he tried to tell his friend, but what did his friend say? He said, his friend said, well, I went to a church the other day. They said, I have a family background problem, so I'm going for deliverance. This foolish man is going up and down for deliverance when he should be harnessing a resource. What deliverance? I'm glad your reaction now. I'm glad we are having a church, because in some churches, if you say that, they'll say, yeah, of course, you should go for deliverance. If he feels he has problems, you should go for. This man is going for deliverance instead of working hard. Lazy people are deliverance Christians. They don't want to walk. They think it's a demon that is not making their ends to walk. But it's not a demon. It is the spirit of poverty expressed by the spirit of laziness. And my friend said, the pastor doing the deliverance is not educated. He's just lying. And before you know it, his stomach has protruded. Why? Because it's feeding on they are like parasites. You know those little ants? They feed on the blood of, but they will soon burst because they've drank so much blood, they will soon explode. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So what God is saying is that I will go back to my house and say, who are the people in my life? Who do I have relationship with? How does my negative affect the relationships of my life? There are relationships you should never let go for anything. Not for money, not for the fact that, do you know there are people that are annoying? But I don't care how annoying you are. If you have a value you can add to me, trust me, and say, well, don't worship any man. That's your problem. I will worship them. I'm sorry. Well, I will not, well, maybe I will not be singing praise and worship to them every morning, but I will adore what they have until I get that value from them. I will pay whatever it takes to pay for the wisdom of a man, because from childhood I've been taught, never take money from someone that you think has more money than you. Beg them for their time. Beg them for their relationship. Beg them for the value that they added to their lives that made them whatever they are able to achieve that you've not achieved. And that's why I am of the opinion that when we speak in this land, many people should listen. When did we get here? 5 years ago? How did we come this far? And I hope you know that the first 5 years of any sojourn is the most struggling part of those years, because you are still learning. You are still saying, okay. Then as a child, when your feet is strong on the floor, you run faster than you ran at the first 5 years of your life. I see some of you running and flying and fulfilling destiny. Can I hear a better amen? I beg of you, change the people in your life. In case you are not a person that is looking for much money, whatever it is, you want to be a great parent, you want to be an employer of labor. How can we have a church with this many people in the morning or evening or any time or few, whatever, and we don't have at least 7 people that are employers of labor? How can that be? Grasshopper mentality. Many of you, of course, because it's a young church, many of you are not new Christians. You're coming from places where they told you that God is coming to do mighty stuff. Like a story again that I think I heard a lot of things yesterday. And it was chairman that told me this as well. In the local assembly where they used to go to, the pastor convinced them so much, preached to them, that Jesus is coming soon, and because of that, you don't need to send your children to school. You don't need to go to school. Let's just prepare for the second coming of Jesus. Like Deeper Life said, people should go and throw away TV. Throw it in the bin. It is the devil's box. My mentor was preaching one day. The general overseer of Deeper Life was there. They were interpreting into Yoruba from English, and he was preaching, and he got to a place where he was giving an example, and he said, for example, if you get home and you switch on your television, and the interpreter said it in my language, I'll say it in English. Oh, for example, if you get home and you switch on the devil's box. So my mentor looked at him and said, that's not what I said. I said television. He said, no, I insist to call it devil's box. It is devil's box, and the chairman went back on it to start preaching. I'm amazed at these things. Anyway, this guy convinced everybody, and they've all believed that Jesus is coming anytime, like tomorrow morning. The children won't go to school. He's coming. He will come. He said, until one day, the man who has been convincing them, his child came from America, and they said, oh, by the way, he just finished his professor thesis, so it's professor so and so, and people started to cry in the church and say, oh my, gullible idiots. The one who was preaching, his child has become a professor when he was telling you jargons. And I said, if you had any sense in you at all, you should have asked the pastor. So if I'm in school and Jesus comes, Jesus will say, oh, is in school, you're not going. Like the preaching we heard some years ago about women wearing trousers, and then it became a great debate in the church. Should women wear trousers? Should women not wear trousers? And Bible scholars began to look for scriptures. But I thought, okay, on judgment day, God Almighty God, the one who has fire and thunder going before him, when he sit down on his mighty throne, he's going to say, oh, did you wear a ring and trouser on earth? You wear trouser. Go to this side. Then, again, he would then have to think, well, were you living in London or Nigeria? If you say London, he say, okay, you can come to this side because London is cold. You wear trouser in Nigeria. You don't have to. So you come to this side. These people are perverts. They are sick. Some of them need cardiac checkups. Because that's what God is going to do overnight on judgment day. Adolf Hitler and the woman who wore trousers are going to hell. And Bin Laden or Osama, they are going to hell because the woman wore trousers and she wasn't living in London. Now, these are the things Paul said they waste time. Instead of concentrating on things, the power of the life to come. Have you noticed, and I'm going to stop with this, when the Bible talks of the power of the life to come, do you know that part of the package of the life to come is prosperity? He said, and I saw many nations, and
I saw the inscription and there was no more tears. They weren't crying because they could not provide for their household. That's why Paul began to talk of those who have tasted of the power of the life to come. In the life to come, they don't talk about demons. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is not a talk about demons. It's amazing. A church can gather for all night vigil and talk about demons from morning till the next night. And you see Christians trooping out. Oh, there's somebody here today. Before you came, you drank blood. Christians, these are born again people. Those are not born again. They've tasted the power of the life to come. They know the God of divine health, that if you truly walk with this God, did we not read the scripture this morning that said, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly? No good thing. And I pray, I ask you, I beg you in God's name to go stand on that scripture. I mean, from the beginning of the month of prayer, standing on that scripture, God, your word says that you will not withhold any good thing from me. The young lions do lack and they suffer hunger. But those who do what? Those who seek the Lord. He said they will not lack anything that is good. And so God, I'm standing with you on your word. And I want you to prove your word to be true. Because if this one is not true, I don't believe there is heaven. I'm sorry, God. If I read the scripture and you said you will not withhold any good thing from me. And you said that you will that those who seek the Lord will not lack anything good. And you can't do that here on earth. You want me to trust you with my eternity? I'm sorry, I will not. But trust me, he's faithful to every inch of his word. What he needs you and I to do is to stand on that word, to be faithful in that word, and to keep standing until we see the manifestation of that word in our life. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Many of us struggle to walk uprightly. We should go tell God today, why are you withholding good things from me? I've been struggling against sin, trying to walk uprightly. Why should good things be withheld from me? Why should finances be withheld from me? Don't let anything suggest to you, well, it's demonic activities. God, if you can't take care of demons, is it then not better to serve demons if they are this powerful? But you see, God wants you to stand up to what is yours. And you can't stand up to what is yours until you get practical, like we are getting practical. Until we say, over with is over with. I'm not going to have relationship with prosperity and poverty at the same time. Those two don't work together. Because one destroys and the other builds. One pulls down. One comes with shame. The other comes with glory. I see glory coming over you. Can I hear a better amen? He said the Lord is gracious. He will give grace and glory. Those are the scriptures that we're going to be standing on in the month of July. And I want to keep painting the picture before you. I wish that testimonies could be shared. I wish there are things one could talk about, but you can't, because many people will have different things in their mind. When actually I want to sit down with somebody to inspire my mind to the next level, make me see possibilities. Why? Because when I first stepped the shores of this country, what I was made to see was complete impossibility. In fact, I was told that here people don't live more than in council flat. So when you grow, may the Lord bless you. I was told, God will bless you, amen. God will bless you, amen. You will get a lovely council flat and everything will be okay. You will marry and then God will bless you. If God just decides to bless you mightily, he will give you the one with 4 bedroom. So that you can raise your 3 children in it. Including the cockroaches and the rats. Don't be angry with me if you live in one. There is nothing wrong with starting anywhere. But there's something wrong if I find you there in the next 10 years. I will advise you jump in Thames. and you're coming to a church like this, your mind is being challenged. And you know what will happen when minds are being challenged? God will position angels. Because whatever you think you attract, you begin to attract it. You're pulling to yourself what you're thinking. And that's why I've been repeating the same thing. There is no demon. I will say it again and again. There is no demon. Not because they don't exist, but they can't stop anything. They are not as powerful as the pastors told us. It's not true. If they were that powerful, they should have ruined the life of white men and women. These guys just think it's a problem. They face it. They solve it if they can. Simple. But we black, it's like there are demons and it's just for black people alone. All of them. You see black churches everywhere. They are praying. Satan must die. I've seen someone say, "Satan, I command you to die." You're commanding Satan to die. You know, and I don't blame those people. He said, "For in that day I will give them a shepherd out after my heart. We will feed them with knowledge and understanding. If you don't know better, you can't do better. If you trust anybody in front of you who carries the microphone and said he's seen the Lord and begins to tell you different, if anybody brings you a different doctrine," he said, "reject this doctrine. If this doctrine is not substantiated by the scriptures," said, "but a lot of people go there." Yes, of course, when you put a dirty thing down, a pool down, you will see a lot of flies. They come to pull, they will never come to a clean place. Wherever the carcass is, the ego will gather. There are dead bodies, the ego will come from everywhere. But you see something about the truth. It walks slowly, but it catches up with the fastest lie in the twinkle of an eye. So I believe God over this nation, there is going to be a revival, and the revival is going to start from here. But God needs to prepare the mindset of those of you that are foundation. There is no point many people coming until your mindset can help impact them. God does not bless an apostolic work until the mindset of those who he calls with the apostles are ready for the unseen. The things that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, when they are ready, their mind is ready, and they are like soldiers, so that everyone who walks through the door, they are able to impact them. I will never forget the first time in my life that I went to the shrine. Now, this shrine is not some deity to worship some deity. It's a place in Nigeria, is owned by the late fellow Nicola Pokuti. And then his son continued it. He's in Ikeja. He's a nice, before you even get into the place, you will see a lot of white people. You will see a lot of cars from Rolls Royce. So people go there. Why? Because you can smoke Indian hemp freely and police are not able to enter. It's a free zone and stuff like that. So you can go in there and smoke. Now, what I will never forget is this. We all went from school, drove down from Ijebu to Lagos. You know, the moment you step at the door, the security guards, the gate man, they're giving you indoctrinations about life. They're giving you fellas ideology. They're telling you that they are not afraid of death. You know, they're just speaking to you, buying your ticket. They are putting things in your head. They are telling you, don't be afraid of police. Don't be afraid of this. They're charging you up. So when you get in, you see people whose eyes look like devils. Everything, well, we were just mocking about. Everything changes because they've been able, they indoctrinate you. And once you step into that zone, it's like you are not in the world alone. Or you are not in the world anymore. That's the kind of church God builds. That when people come through the door, the ones that God lays the foundation of the church with, you are able to pass down knowledge to them. You are able to strengthen them. You are not saying, you know, our pastor talks hard, well, let's be praying for him. Oh, okay, okay. When your mindset develops to a mighty army mindset, then God blesses the church. But the mindset of a grasshopper, oh, well, you know, let's be believing God. And what? You're an army in this kingdom, not a civilian. So what God wants, and the people that are coming will see the order in your life. They see the kind of people in your life. They see the way you arrange your life. When you, and someone said, well, our pastor used to teach that they don't worry about witches or wizards. But you know, he's growing. He's a young man. Our own experience, we will see where your experience will lead you. Because ask those who do it and ask where did they lead them. The mindset that God is developing in this house, the people that God is developing in this house, number one, they are die-hard seekers of God. Number two, they are die-hard givers. Because the spirit of the shepherd is what must be upon the house. Number three, when the road is so blocked that there seems to be no more way, then they reach the next level of breakthrough. That's the grace upon the apostle, and that's what God is building on this house, to have a mindset of, it is not possible for me to be defeated. As in, it's not possible. I'm one of those that if the devil comes and says, well, I will defeat you because you committed this sin yesterday, I'll tell him, no, it's none of your business. I won't start panicking and say, pastor preached that sin is not good. No, devil, it's between me and God. This one I will win first. It's none of your business. How many times do you have quarrel with your parents and then your next door neighbor? I know this can happen in Africa. Your next door neighbor comes to knock to hold you responsible against what you did to your father. Well, you sin against your father, I'll hold you responsible. That's your neighbor talking. Now, not even your neighbor this time around, the enemy of your dad comes to hold you responsible for what you did against your dad. And somebody sells you that crap. Oh, the devil is going. No, it's not going to do nothing. It's my mindset. It's my relationship. It's the people in my life. Are they going somewhere? Are they prospering? Are they able? Why are you keeping friends that are not bringing any joy into your life? You say because you don't want to offend anybody. Don't you know that you can keep a snake in your pocket for a while? Eventually, it will bite you. It will bite someday. Oh, well, it's because we go to the same church. Well, we can go to the same church, but the same church is not going into us. So I'm sorry. Our ways don't meet. Now, let us order our life. I have more things to say about relationship. Those of you who are in marital relationship, your husband will either push you forward or slow you down. It's unfortunate, but that's the truth. The two shall become one. You are in courtship and the man is very stubborn. And you don't run for your dear life. Be afraid of stubborn men. They are likely going to spend the rest of their life very poor. They will tell you that I don't like cheating. Oh, nobody can cheat me, they will say. But they will forget that in life, you get cheated and you get blessed. Like Jacob, cheating comes first. You don't always get what you deserve, but you eventually get more than what you deserve. Can I hear an amen? Amen. This is going to be different, but if anybody again comes with different gospel, don't take it. It doesn't matter who. And say, well, we want to pray against every power of demons that is stopping me. I believe Satan will try to stop me. I believe, in fact, if he doesn't try to stop me, he's not doing his job. But, you know, the strongest person that can stop me is me. If I don't stop me, you can't stop me. If I don't stop me, the devil cannot stop me. So again, what God wants to build in this house, from the young to the old, are die-hard seekers of God. They are people you don't beg to give. Neither do you beg them to evangelize or invite people to church. If you are still in that cage, then you are one of the reasons why we are not getting to where God wants us to get yet. Because God needs you in this army. God needs you. And the Bible says to test all spirits. You can test the spirit of your apostle and know that, for me, when we talk about prosperity, we talk about winning the world for Jesus. There is no going back on that. It is an unrepentant thing for me. It is, you know what they call do or die. Why? Because my eyes is set on only one thing. My eyes, and God knows this, my eyes is set on the day that I'm going to stand before God and he's going to say, welcome home, you did well. That's where my eyes is. But from time to time, he begins to reveal to me what it takes to have that. That it's not just church with a lot of people is sitting down. It is challenging and pastoring a whole generation to where God wants them to be and to prosper the way God wants them to prosper. And he's always shown me that the road is going to be filled with sweat and blood as well. And sand. Those three things are going to mix together so that when you finally get to the throne, and you are not going to get the sweat and blood from unbelievers, it's going to be from believers. So we're saying, devil, what are you waiting for? Bring it on. But we have to prosper. And I pray that you'll prosper. Can I pray the prayer of John for you? I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I pray for you tonight that you will hate poverty with all that it, and all that it stands for. You will hate poverty in health. You will not be deceived. You know, there are many Christians today that are deceived. They will sit down and hear things that excite them, but it's not true. Father, I ask, oh God, that you will open our mind and our heart and our souls, Lord, to the right relationships, the people that you've placed in our lives. There are people that God placed in your life and you've decided to give them the peace of your mind. And then they are out of your life. Because you always like to talk and to do your own thing somehow. But you forgot the value that they carry. Father, I ask you today that if there be anyone, including myself, that have missed right relationships, Father, or those who have allegiance to negative relationships, we ask today, oh Father, that you restore us, that you bring us back to the place that you want us to be, so that we'll be able to fulfill destiny. In the name of Jesus, everything that is contrary to the scripture that has been sown in the past in us, Father, uproot them tonight. Let us see you as you are. We give you all the praise tonight. So I prophesy on you, go and prosper. Amen. Go and do well. Amen. Let this week bring you good tidings. Amen. As you think, let the Spirit think with you. Amen. Let the Spirit give you illumination, light, understanding. In the name of Jesus. Whatever business that God has called you into, even if you don't know it now, may the Lord reveal it to you. In the name of Jesus, those of us who are career people, may the Lord lift you in your career. Let blessing begin to erupt in this house. Let blessings begin to show up in this house. Those who are timid, those who are afraid to take steps, Spirit of the living God, push them out of their comfort zone. Whatever they need to lose in order to gain everything, let them lose it today. In the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that we will not miss any of the plan, that we will not get to heaven and begin to say, oh, if I'd known that you kept all these things for me. Reveal to us, Father, those things which are ours. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise tonight, and the people shout a believing amen.